This is episode 160 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel. Get into the ill mind of Manzano.
Yeah, you're gonna see it later on. You might not make it out.
Will Summertime Beard Hagwood.
Yeah, fresh and new.
And Ryan taking his first steps into a larger world, Stanazuski.
Things to come. More things to come. Also, who dat over there?
Who? What? Well, everybody, today, this is episode 160. I want to let you know this is going to be a shorter podcast than what you're used to because of the new streaming thing we're doing here today. Those of you who are just listening, after our podcast, which we're starting earlier, 9 p.m., starting at 10, around 10, we're going to be starting up a new stream series called X-Wing Mind Games. If you've watched before, you've seen maybe when we did this in first edition, we have some new tech and some new ideas on how we're going to get this done. We'll talk more about it later. Basically, you get to hear the decision-making process for players as they're playing. We're going to switch back and forth between the audio. We're going to have all the audio recorded. We're going to put it all together on a YouTube video. And when you watch on YouTube, you'll have one player on the left side, one player on the right side. You go ahead and pan your audio or just use one earbud to listen to who you want to listen to at any time. Live, we'll do the panning for you, but it should be real fun. Hopefully it works out. So first we're going to talk about a little bit of news. So I don't know if you guys saw this forum post, but I was intrigued. Let's go right here. So somebody said here, new squadron packs ? And they busted these three links out, and they connect to Lion Rampant, and they are a distributor in Canada. And they have linked right now, as a distributor, three different what are called squadron packs, which I think is going to be maybe our ace pack. So this is a little bit of speculation time. This is a little bit of guess what could maybe be in the box time. And this is our main topic for today that I want to talk about. So the three packs that we see here, at least the way that they're named on this Canadian site, one is called Phoenix Cell Squadron Pack. The second one, Sky Strike Academy Squadron Pack. And the third one, Fugitives and Collaborators Squadron Pack. So, those of you who haven't heard about this in the chat, let's have some speculation. Let's have some fun. And what I'll do is I'm going to split this between the three of you. Ryan, we're going to start with you. What do you think could be in the Phoenix Cell Squadron Pack? You're muted, my friend.
Thank you. Said, well, I would assume that deals with Phoenix Squadron from Rebels, so we might get Hera in a new ship that she isn't in. Probably see a little bit more of some names from Phoenix Squadron. It's kind of the only thing that has in my mind. It didn't say specifically which factions in those packs. This is actually brand news to me. I didn't see this till just now.
Bam! Reactions!
Like, whoa! Make me go to the forums.
That's right. That's right. I'm thinking Phoenix Squadron. What ships do you think could be in here? Because we know nothing. We know, like, this is all the information we have is Canada distributor messed up most of these links. We found it. What ship models do you think might be in here? Because I'm assuming this is a way for them to add to the first edition from the first edition stock that hasn't been re-released in second edition for those players, but like what ships haven't been released yet in second ed that would fit the Phoenix Cell descriptor? Because it doesn't say what's the word? It doesn't say like Ghost Crew or anything like that. In the Phoenix Cell, that was a lot of ships in there.
Yeah, so the weird part is, you're right, you know, when people think Phoenix Squadron or Phoenix Cell, I guess what they're calling this pack, people think those A-Wings with Hera, but we've already had a re-released A-Wing. Doesn't mean they won't do another A-Wing in this pack, because they already mentioned with the Resistance one that they said they were going to do first, it is, they really highly hinted that it's going to have a T-70 in there with the orange paint scheme from Poe from Rise of Skywalker. So even though T-70 was already re-released, they're doing this in the Squadron pack. So, but we could also see Harris special prototype B-Wing. We could see the Y-Wings that were stolen. We could even see the X-Wings that, you know, Hera did fly X-Wing as well. So there's a lot of the wing ships that we're already very familiar with that we could see in this pack, and all of them have been re-released already. So different paint jobs, different pilots, most likely.
Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. Now let's go ahead and flip over to Sky Strike Academy. Will, what are we thinking here? Probably Empire, right?
Sky Strike. That's interesting. I don't know about Sky Strike. Let me take a look here, see if anything comes up for that already. Ooh, looks like we do have Sky Strike Flight Academy was an elite academy for the Galactic Empire's military training sometime before the Battle of Yavin. Imperial cadets Wedge Antilles and Hobby defected from the Empire to help with Sabine. So if you remember that, that's a callback to Rebels episode where she sneaks in as a
spoiler alert.
Dude, it's like 3 years old right now.
yeah, that's a pretty early season when she does that. So that's very interesting. They specialized in TIE fighters. So I could see definitely a TIE fighter. That's, we have the Inferno Squadron, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like actually to see, I would like to see that Wedge in there, and Hobby even, as potential...
As Imperial pilots?
Yeah, as Imperial pilots, like cadets with like low initiative or whatever. I'm trying to think of, so we already have, let's see, Inquisitor's TIE, Interceptor, Defender, X-1, and the Striker. Do we not have a bomber yet? No. So I'm gonna place my bets on bomber for the ship to go with the TIE fighter, because I feel like TIE fighter's got to be in there. And I was actually wondering. So there. Oh, if I lean back, I'm out of view. Could we see? Correct me if I'm wrong. Have we seen a dual ship pack yet? That was just two ships.
Two ships.
Or 2.0?
The Houndstooth, I guess.
The Houndstooth and the Ghost, technically.
Okay.
No, also so, the U-Wing pack, because that one also had 2.0 cards in it.
I'll give you that. So it's Renegades. Okay. Yeah. All right, so... There's a couple of examples, but I was interested to, what do I want to say? I would be interested in if they continued the Republic and CIS squadron packs that had two cheaper ships mixed with a more expensive ship as kind of a starter for your faction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be cool. Two TIE fighters and then maybe a bomber. Is there a better ship than bomber? More of like an AC ship that hasn't been released.
So one of the ships, if I might be wrong here, and I'm sure the chat will correct me, but isn't Sky Strike Academy where or one of the places we first see the Defender?
That's an experimental ship. They wouldn't have it.
That was on Lothal,
Academy.
Right? That was on Lothal. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm trying to see.
I think we did see interceptors there in that show for the first time in those episodes, right?
Truth.
Yeah, it says the only thing I can confirm is TIE fighters, bombers, and Imperial landing craft. So I think we're going to stick with my guns and go with the bombers there. I thought they did have one interceptor that chased them down when they were trying to leave.
Yeah, the leader, the instructor guy, Volt Scaris or Instructor Gorin. Someone had posted some information on that.
So potentially, I mean, honestly, between the two, I think in the Interceptors need more love. They are in a rough spot right now, where you're either an Alpha or you're a student tier. So that's probably the better decision. To go with the Interceptor. Plus, you can load them down. But I guess you can load bombers down. I don't know.
Yep. Maybe the Lambda? Yeah, would they put a Lambda in there? Probably not, right?
No. We don't need Lambdas. They're fine. this would actually would have been... apparently, they're referencing the Sentinel-class landing craft, but I don't think we'll see a new ship, because this is pretty early Empire, before they had the Lambda technologies. I would be interested. I like the flashback to Skystrike. I really like the idea of the close-knit themes already, choosing very specific organizations. Very cool.
That's right. And then last but certainly not the least, Marcel, fugitives and collaborators. It's obvious what faction this probably is, right?
Yeah, I think so. As far as like what's going to be in it, I have no idea because obviously
What's the faction for maybe that one person? What's the faction for the one person who's like, I don't know. What are you talking about?
Scum and Villainy.
Yeah.
I have zero idea.
Give me a wish list. What do you think should be in there? If you were the decision maker, I made you the decision maker right now. Mm-hmm. What are the ships that you would put in there?
They're ships. They're not just pilot packs.
No, yeah, this is ships with pilots. It's like gotcha. It's the same one. This is the same name that they used for the Republic and the Separatists squadron pack is what they called it.
Gotcha. I would like to see the ships again. I don't know who would fall into it, but I think the ships that get underutilized a lot are the Gan fighters and the Kimajilas. So I'd like to see some Ganfighter Kimajilas from a more The Mandalorian.
That's true.
I don't think so. I don't think they would put it out in a pack like that. I think they would just blow it up and say literally like The Mandalorian ship. That and I actually want to see Jango Fett, but that would
I think
be
I think that's gonna
like,
happen.
That would be more of the fire spray just getting re-released again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd like to see Jango Fett. I can't think of, you know, a lot of... I don't know what some of the other bounty hunters fly that aren't already included. So I think for the most part, those are the ones that I'm thinking about. It's just the Gan fighter, the Kimajila, maybe the Kerax fighter.
What about Quad Jumper?
Quad Jumper?
I think we're missing a big connecting piece of the puzzle here. Both of the other packs dealt with Rebels. You know who's a big collaborator and fugitive? One Hondo Onaka.
Oh! Ah, Hondo!
I have no idea what ships, but man, that's a good opportunity to bring him in.
No idea who Hondo Onaka is. I just know that there was that one alien-looking dude that had like Imperial mind brain stuck on his head. In season one, and he knew.
Like, would this be a good time? We still haven't got a Hawk yet either. They make great fugitive ships as well.
Yeah, could do that.
I think it would be nice to see some additional Hawks. I would prefer to see new Hawks for the Rebels, but yeah, for fugitives. I mean, there's only three named pilots on the Hawks for either faction, so.
More pilots, more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we see this, I think, is really exciting. And I think one of the questions we have to ask is we know that for the Republic and the Separatists, both of those released new pilots and new ships in them. Obviously, there were new factions. And the question is, are they going to be re-releases of first edition ships? Or are they going to use this opportunity to possibly release new ones? Now, I personally think they're probably going to be re-releases just because we haven't caught up all the first edition content coming out in some way for second edition players to get it. So probably that. And yeah, any other thoughts on this leak?
No. Aren't we like a little bit behind on stuff anyway? Because wasn't there PAX already supposed to be coming out?
Theoretically, we're like three. We're looking three into the future right now because we got the Z shuttle, the droid gunship, and the LAT gunship. That's like the next confirmed wave.
Yeah.
But then there was also about a month back that leak of what's coming up for a bunch of products across the board that included the V-Wing, the Jedi Interceptor, Jango Slave One, Droid Tri-Fighter. Like, that theoretically is even the next thing, and this could be even further beyond.
Yep. Or we get that crazy time where they're just like, we got all this stuff, we couldn't release it yet because COVID, here you go. And it's just raining ships all over the place. Wallets are crying all over the nation. It's just
Sounds great for Christmas.
There you go. Get your stocking stuffers. Oh man, I'm not gonna be able to keep up on the giveaways. Like, too many ships. Awesome. So for our next segment, we're actually going to spend some time and answer a couple of listener questions. If you want to post questions for us, go ahead and post them on our Discord. If you want to become a part of our Discord, just click the link in the description down below or type !! Discord if you're watching live. So this first one is... I found it interesting, and I think it's gonna take a bit of a discussion to come to an agreement. This comes from Optimus Prime 8200. His question is, first edition lasted the better part of 6 years before being replaced by second edition. We are now 2 years into second edition. Any predictions for the life expectancy of this edition? What will likely be the biggest shortcoming that a possible third edition could address? I'll open the floor. Who wants to go first?
Can I rant about something?
Rant. Go ahead. Give your reaction. Answer the question. Rant at the question. Do it.
If something that I thought they should have for second edition, and while I do think it would go away from the simplicity of the game, but I would like to see some sort of double dial, kind of like how the epic ships have doing hull and stuff, where they got like crazy spinners left and right. But I would like to see action dials in third edition, to where you have to choose your perform action in planning. So things that
kind of like Armada, right?
Yes, Armada, if you fly like a small ship, like a Corvette or something like that, you only have one action dial, whereas the larger ones, you have to put that action dial three turns ahead because there's so much things going on in the Imperial Star Destroyer. Their actions are a lot more basic, though. They're mostly just tokens. There's definitely no repositioning. Maybe. Fighter moving? I don't know. I haven't played Armada in a bit. I'm sure they got crazy things now. But I think that would be one of the ways to where you can even the playing field for moving first or last. And it actually should, in my mind, would cut down on decision times while playing. May make planning a little bit longer. Like, so I do understand that it would get away from the simplicity of it by having that extra thing to do. But I think it would actually speed up activation times, especially with ships that don't have any linked actions and would just take that perform action step and do nothing else. Because all your decision making was already done. So you move,
you're just executing it.
Yeah. I think that would really... exemplify it'd really heighten, I'll say, the emphasis on choosing things ahead of time. That, like, poker mentality. Because, like, man, when you call that barrel roll from the planning phase and your ace arc dodges the ship you knew that was going to try to come in for the block, you look like a genius all of a sudden. But when you just get to have that board knowledge, it doesn't seem as impressive. You know what I mean? Be like, we can all clearly see that if you just barrel roll, you'll arc dodge and get a shot.
There you go. So increasing the putting more value in the planning phase, which honestly is one of the reasons why we love X-Wing so much as a game system, is the planning phase, is that existence. And anytime it gets watered down, we get a little upset. But if you're able to add something to it, that's interesting. I like that idea, Will. So Ryan, I'm going to flip this over to you here. That question, first edition lasted 6 years. Do we think second edition will last as long, longer? What do you think?
I hope longer. Not that I wouldn't welcome a third if FG felt it to be necessary, but it's just me hoping that, like, I hope the game extends and everyone is happy about playing this game for as much time as possible. But I feel like second edition, while there may be a couple small shortcomings here and there, there isn't anything egregious in my mind. Potentially everything is fixable because the rules reference can always be updated, and they can update just wording on stuff, and they can also update point values, obviously. They've opened up more adjustments that can be made across the board. I would say that I'm surprised at this point we haven't seen a higher utilization of the system phase. There's only a couple triggers that have been utilized, and, you know, we got obviously cloak and bomb, but I kind of wish stuff like advanced sensors, supernatural reflexes, precognitive reflexes, like that stuff, I kind of wish was in the system phase, where, cool, you get your action before you move, so you won't, you know, a bump will be less effective on you, or you can reposition yourself for someone who's trying to block you, but then you've shifted your spot, instead of having that knowledge so far later down the line in the activation at I5 most likely, or even I6, that it becomes a unfun player experience if someone else isn't aware of how it's going to be used against them. They'll just have a rough time catching that pilot. And we haven't seen some of those cards be using as effectively, but in a personal play experience, it's not something that I would ever bring to a local night, because I'd feel bad if I paired up with someone who wasn't aware of what this was doing in the game. So I just, one of my small things that I wish system phase was used more or taken advantage of more by this point of second edition, because it was a way that they could allow certain rules and triggers to occur instead of having it so initiative based in activation or combat even.
That's a great point. I like that that idea. It kind of takes some of what Will was talking about, and if the utilization of the system phase happened a little more, maybe, you know, maybe we get a little bit of both worlds there. Marcel, any thoughts before we move on to our next question?
Yeah. So as far as how long it stays, I hope it stays more than six. Like same thing as Ryan. Hope it stays much longer than 6 years. Now, I think when you're getting down to a third edition, if all you're doing is putting a Band-Aid over things that were probably broken and just adding a couple new things like Force and a couple changes, like, okay, the arc instead of being 360, now it's a bow tie or a single rotating arc. Those are nice, but those are, I think if you're going to jump into a third edition, you're going to have to get into like real significant changes in the game. And I was thinking about it while Will and Ryan were talking, and actually something that I think would be really interesting for a dogfighting game is taking some of the mechanics that you get from the video games like Final Fantasy Tactics because right now X-Wing plays more like a XCOM type of game where you do all your planning and then everything happens in order. But I'm talking about more of a Final Fantasy where you actually move and you activate and you do everything in one go. So for example, if you're flying a high initiative ship, after you do your planning phase for everyone, they're all set, but now you activate in a kind of like Imperial Assault or something, like you activate one at a time. So you activate the highest initiative first, so Sinterfell would be able to move, reposition, take actions, shoot, and then the next ship would then have to move, reposition. So basically moving the engagement and the attacking phase over to the activation phase and kind of...
I can learn to understand.
So that it's a big enough difference between 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0 to be a significant enough change in the game. I don't know. I think something like that. Something where it's more of a tactics-style game. Another potential major change could be just minimizing the effect of dice, making it less variable and making it more more based on the actual piloting versus the luck element of it. But I think the luck element probably adds a lot of... definitely to streaming, and adds a lot of I don't know how you call it, a lot of wow moments. So anyway, do you guys know what I'm talking about as far as like that tactic style?
Yeah, what's used in Star Wars Legion, it's what's used in Armada. Most mm-hmm. other game systems that are war game based use this, where one side activates one whole thing and that thing in that unit does all of its stuff, then the other side does it. What you generally see in those games is some of the more powerful lists end up being like who can spam the most stuff and have one or two centerpieces that are like the big powerful things that you save to activate later or activate very first when you need to. So the going up into engagement turns, you get all the small guys go first and the pawns, and then last the queen or king rush in, and you know they hit hard, and then as soon as they can activate in the beginning turn, they hit hard again and rush out in the next turn.
Yes. So and I get that. So again, I haven't played enough of those games to know like the strengths and weaknesses or things that make it go. And I was thinking more of like keeping the planning phase and keeping the system, maybe not even keeping the system phase, but keeping the planning phase where you where Legion and some of those other games, you choose where you move based on when you activate. This would be, you choose your, you still have a planning phase where you set all your dials. The only difference is that you combine the system, the movement and the engagement phase, the system, the activation and the engagement phase into one. And ultimately you have a planning phase where you set all your dials, and then you have a phase where you activate based on initiative order or something like that. But anyway, that's just a thought. Because I think if you're just adding a Band-Aid at 3.0, I don't think a lot of people will really appreciate having to repurchase everything for a Band-Aid. Because something's broken.
All right. So... Interesting takes there. I like that. So here is the next question that we're going to hit. Here comes from Chief Steve 88, and it says, with point changes, which we're assuming actually is happening next week, my sources say that we should be talking about that next Monday. We'll see what happens. With points changes comes hyperspace changes as well. What do you foresee happening with hyperspace? And if you could influence it, what would be your choice? So basically, this is while we don't have we didn't set up to do a full like add or what should be taken out, what should be added, what should stay or whatever like that. What's maybe a change that you would like to see for hyperspace? Or maybe I'll start so you guys can think about it. All right. So I think it's important, before we go into this conversation, to remember the fact that hyperspace is a limited format, right? And it needs to stay a limited format, some type of curated format. One of the complaints I hear a lot of times, like, I don't, there's not enough ships in hyperspace. That's how it's supposed to be. And we have, we've had tournaments on both sides, right? Where we have extended, and then we also have hyperspace. So I think it's important to remember that. So it's not less like, oh, put more ships. I don't think that's the, like, let's say we kept it all the same. Are you swapping something out? What do you guys think?
I got an idea.
Do it.
So this is an idea I heard, and I thought it was very interesting. One of the biggest complaints about hyperspace is that it hurts, I guess, people who have larger collections or a specific ship that they just love to fly, right? So the suggestion I heard was have at least one pilot eligible in hyperspace for every ship. So you can get a Hawk, but it's Dace Bonearm. You can fly a Starwing, but it's Karsavi. Right?
Yes. Like
you can fly the Interceptor, but you're flying a Turfener, right? Like,
I know we have, like, at least one Turfener fan in the chat. I know that.
Good. They will be ecstatic to get that Turfener out on the board. But I think that would be, and probably go out of their way to either make that ship, like, bad, or in the case of, like, the Defender, let him take Vessery, but jack his points up by, like, 3 or 4 before he goes into hyperspace.
Nice, nice. Marcel? Any thoughts? No?
It looks like he just got back from somewhere.
Oh, okay. Marcel?
I was turning the air conditioner back on. It's kind of warm in here. All right. I don't hear what anybody said before this, so I might be repeating stuff that you guys already said.
I doubt it. Go for it.
You doubt it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think I'm at your level? Is that what?
I think that you are so original that I know you, without even trying, you're
the
just going to come up with something
new.
The
ill mind of Manzano. You're getting in there. That's what it is.
Fight.
So what I would like to see changed in hyperspace is just changing some of the formats on tweaking some of the rules that are traditionally known as, like, these are the rules that are set in stone. So it's not so much about adding things like putting Crack Shot back on or putting Delta 7 and limiting pilots that you don't want. They can still do that, but I would love to see tested in a hyperspace type of format is making initiative bids, not initiatives for ships, but making initiative bids irrelevant. So to stop the race to the bottom, and allow people to really just try to take the most out of their list and get up to 200. So whether that's a rotation of, okay, you have initiative round on the odd rounds, you have initiative on the even rounds, or whether it's just, you know, a kind of flip the initiative coin, and regardless of what your bid is, just, you know, you go based on flipping the coin. That way, one of the things that I don't like about hyperspace is that when you're, especially with Boba Fett this time around, it was really a race to the bottom, and it's like minimizing everything. And while I understand the reason, you know, why you want to move last and have all that stuff, I think it takes away from just being able to use all the toys that you have and really load out a list based on, you know, as much stuff as you can throw on there. And you know me, Dion. You know I love showing up with, 15 upgrade cards. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, just put 2 VCX on there and, like, those two ships have 30 cards combined or something like that. But yeah, I think that would be, I'd be nice. That way you're not so much worried about, you know, if you're bringing Sunterfell, you're thinking like, okay, I'm bringing Sunterfell, but I may lose the initiative regardless of what my bid is. So let me think about how I'm going to build the rest of my list to be able to counter that.
All right. Cool. And last but certainly not the least, Ryan.
I think what's going to be really interesting to see is, because they want to obviously keep the limited format fresh, but at the same time, it does, I think, need to predominantly, if not always, incorporate ships that have only been re-released, so that it is something that someone who's just buying the second edition product, they can play in that format, theoretically even playing field with everybody else who has been in the game for much longer, first edition. So I think what we're going to see is probably more to the degree of upgrades, swapping in and out, maybe a couple ships here and there, but I don't think any crazy wholesale changes. I was pretty confused as to why originally they say kept the Nantex and the Naboo N1 in there, but didn't let the Torrent and the Belbalab. Like, those are two ships that are in the main starter pack of each of those factions, being Separatist and Republic. So I personally think swapping those would make sense. Assuming that we're going to get some Separatist adjustments on the nerf bat a little bit, that maybe the Belbalab can come back into hyperspace, and maybe FFG will feel that, like, all right, this won't be as effective as it was before. But that's really the only, like, specific ship change that is kind of on my radar. It's just looking to have those Torrents and Belbalabs back in. They're in the starter kit for the factions. I feel like they should be in there. And then just curious to see how the upgrades turn out. Like, how big of a change could we see the upgrades be? It could be obviously much, I think, much larger than the ship changes.
Yep. Agreed. All right. Well, those are the questions of the week that we're going to hit. Thank you for submitting those. And again, remember, you can submit your own on Discord. Now we're moving on to lists of the week. Ryan, Marcel, and Will actually went into the Discord and they chose what list they wanted to hit. And we're going to start with Marcel, who took the list of Trouble Kelp. It is a scum and villainy list. Let's go ahead and bring it up here so y'all can see it. So, he said that he has Tel Travura with R5 Astromech and punishing one. His Moralo Eval with Contraband Cybernetics. And then Guri with Advanced Sensors sitting at 195 points. And it looks like his goal is to just never get caught.
Which is an interesting goal to have with Initiative 4 large base ships, even if you can disappear and reappear. But I chose this list because I actually think it seems like a lot of fun. And so I do like the idea of Moravalo. I'm a big fan of Moravalo, but I've actually never played Moralo Eval. Is that how you say it?
Moralo.
Moralo Eval, yeah. I was calling him Moravalo. That's weird. I've actually always wanted to play him and never have. So I do like the concept of this list, the theory of this list, but I got a couple changes. I'm not changing any of the ships because I'm a big fan of Tel Travura as well. So what I ended up doing with this is... this is not it. Okay, this one is it. I actually took the Punishing One title off. Let me move this over to the side so I can see what you're doing. I took the Punishing One title off as well as the... Well, that takes the Astromech off as well.
So and now we're then, at 186, yep.
Yeah, and I'm putting the cannon on it instead, which I'm going to go in this case with Auto Blaster Turret. And then put a marksmanship on it as well. And then you really can't have a Jumpmaster without a contraband cybernetic. It's just, I mean, it's stapled on there, even on Tal Chavurro. Maybe Nam Lam is the only one that could kind of get away with it because he doesn't need to have arc, but Tal Chavurro definitely does. And then that leaves us at 192. And after that is just one simple change, which is putting Jabba the Hutt crew on Moralo Evolve. That way, if you never want to get caught, if you find a good spot, you can stay there for four turns in a row. You ain't got to move. And
this is my home now. This
I live here. Come at me. Yeah, and Tal Chavurro, especially with this list, if they want to go after Moralo Evolve, then they have to show their, you know, if you fly Moralo Evolve out of the back and you kind of sandwich them in, you might get those auto blaster shots off with the marksmanship. And of course, at the same time, you know, Guri is, you're probably saving Guri. If you're flying against an I-6 or something like that, just throw Moralo and Tal Chavurro at it. I was also trying to figure out if there was a way to get Dengar crew in there, just to kind of give Tal a little bit more of a nuisance type of feel because he comes back to life, but even as you're killing him, he might be rolling damage back at you. But that's 6 points, and I thought you'd probably get more fun out of Jabba the Hutt than Dengar crew. Yeah, so I mean, that was it. It was super, super basic. I liked the list. And really just being able to park Moralo for a few turns, I thought was maybe a little bit more fun than having a permanent front arc on Tal Chavurro.
All right. Pretty cool, pretty cool. I like it. All right, so we end up with Tal Chavurro with marksmanship, auto blaster, contraband cybernetics, Moralo Evolve with Jabba the Hutt, contraband cybernetics, and Guri with advanced sensors. That sounds fun. That sounds fun. All right. Our next list comes to us from Wasted Vader, and Will's going to take care of this. And, he said he's just got a bearded dragon and named him Bossk. So that's why we have the list we have in front of us. So the list starts out with Bossk. That's another YV666 with marksmanship, 000, BT1 gunner, contraband cybernetics, and the Hound's Tooth, which, of course, you got to take a Z95. You're taking the Hound's Tooth, so you got the Nash Top Pup in there. Then Sarasu with marksmanship and auto blaster, and rounding it out with Guri with outmaneuver and collision detector. Will, what you going to do here?
All right, so the first thing I'm going to drop is Sarasu. A little too expensive for a single action ace out there. So I'm going to get rid of him. Not a fan in this format. Going to need more than just Guri, who's not going to try to be range one of that particular ship. The next thing I'm going to do is switch collision detector to advanced sensors on Guri. Thing is just straight better. And then we're going to get Bossk. Let's get rid of everything but contraband.
Boom.
Bring that contraband.
Fire sale.
Get off of there. I got some other things to say about him. But actually, I'll do that right now because it ties into the last ship. So, BT1 gives you a hit to crit while the opponent is stressed. Not everybody is stressed. And Boss loves those crits because he can split them into two hits. It's like choosing a direct hit every single time. So we need a guaranteed way to get Boss crit, and I'm going to put on Greedo Crew, which is kind of a double-edged sword, because they get shots onto you are all crits until you shoot and can modify a hit to a crit. I like that. It's very guaranteed. It also is going to draw a lot of heat onto Bossk, so that you can actually get him destroyed and deploy that pup. We're going to leave that as it is for now, and we're going to get Torkoal Mux. That is a hawk who can make people initiative zero.
Make people
now,
say
I think
it.
you could squeeze off a couple upgrades here, like outmaneuver and that contraband cybernetics, to get the Molded Crow title on Torkoal. I'm not going to. I think it's a little unnecessary. Just a little bit too much, or gives him a little bit too many points onto him. So I'm going to go with Trusty L337 on him, which is a defensive upgrade. Plus, it will open up his dial if he needs to start boosting or doing a lot of rotating linked actions. And we got 6 points left, which is going to be for some of my favorite upgrades here. That's going to be Forlom Crew on Bossk. I like Forlom. He says you can name a green token, and the defender can't spend it if you take two Ions. Best thing about it is that it means about nothing for Bossk, because he'll require 3 Ion tokens. So you get the first one for free, and you basically do the second one when you're just going to either die or bump. So really no downside to it.
Or the forward is inconsequential. You're like, I'm probably going to do a one forward anyway.
Yeah, where it's just like, well, I could one bank and bump or one forward and bump. So I guess it means about nothing. I mean, sure, you give a little bit of information away. But very useful. Now, I'm going to grab a crack shot on boss 2. It's just too good to pass up. And the last couple points is interesting because I probably would rather have a bigger bid for Guri. So I'm going to leave it at 3 points. I'm going to skip on Zuckus because I don't think Zuckus works with contraband as much as I would like it to. And Kira would be another option there. Start target locking rocks so you could fly over them. Both pretty cute, but we're going to spend those last points on a bid for Guri.
All right, so I just want to make sure. Did you take out the pup in the end?
No, I kept the pup in.
Okay, cool. Because when you said take everything off, I also took the houndstooth off, and it
killed him. No, that's sacrilegious. No.
So we end up at 197?
I guess we could have taken off the pup to squeeze in Moldy Crow there. But like I said, I'm not trying to invest a lot of points in a 2 agility 5 health ship.
All right. So we have Bossk with Crackshot, Forlom, and Greedo, Contraband Cybernetics, and the Houndstooth title. Comes equipped with a Nashtal pup as well. Guri with Outmaneuver and Advanced Sensors, and Torkoal Mux with L337 sitting at 197 points. Hopefully that helped you out, Wasted Vader. And last but not least, we have a list from Grim Wolf. Grim Wolf. Wow, all my words today are not quite coming out right. Grim Wolf 03. It says, looking for advice to balance table fun with moderate performance. So we have Dutch Vander with expert handling, R4 Astromech, Proton Bomb, Delayed Fuses, and Skilled Bombardier. A Blade Squadron, so this is a B-Wing, with Predator, Auto Blaster, Stabilized S-Foils, Passive Sensors, and Tractor Beam. There are 2 of those. And then Jake Farrell with Crack Shot and Marksmanship. Ryan, what are you doing here?
I'm stripping out a whole lot of upgrades first. So there's 2 routes we can go. I'm not sure if Grim Wolf is specifically limited to only 2 B-Wings. Maybe he only owns 2 B-Wings. So we'll start there first, and we'll go to what I think would be maybe a little more fun and could still be definitely more competitive. So just get rid of every upgrade off of everything.
All right,
and actually, just hit the X on Dutch.
All right, save me some clicks. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, all right.
So
we've stripped out the B wings. They are bare.
Yep. All right.
To the bone.
Change one of those B wings to 10 Nub, and change one of those B wings to Braylon Strom.
Oh, I let it's already a winning combo.
And then 10 Nub can get his foils.
Yep.
And hey, 62 points. That's a good old Luke Skywalker right there.
Oh, buddy.
So,
oops, wrong ship.
It's giving you 3 ships that can be double modified offensively between Luke's force and a target lock. You get Jake, who can feed a focus to whoever, really. I mean, all these 3 main heavy hitters can generate their own double modded shots. But Jake is always a good driving force in getting those B-Wings focuses before they do, say, a red maneuver. Or if they want to take a target lock for any reason, in case Braylon didn't feel like two rerolls was enough, which normally it is. And hey, if you want to take it in hyperspace, it is hyperspace legal. It's very stripped down. You're only working with the cards of the pilots themselves, which is going to lend itself to making something that's easier to follow along with. You don't end up forgetting a ton of triggers. It's all there with just those four pilots. Now, if you wanted to be a little more frisky and have more than two B-wings, we're going to keep Jake in there. We're going to put those B-wings back down to blue squadron pilots. So the baseline pilots there. We're going to get rid of Luke. We're going to hit duplicate on one of those Bs. But we can get rid of the S-foils as well on the other. And then we are going to throw in AP5 with Leia Organa.
Bam.
And you should have you got two points left. So throw, may as well throw a crack shot on Jake and leave a 1 point bid for whatever reason you feel like you need.
There you go.
There we go. So if you and the Grimwolf did say didn't really want an AC style A-wing or B-wing list, so you got a heavy hitter with some name pilots, or you have more of a five ship list covering a lot of arcs but with a lot of efficiency and time on target with Leia, another driving force for the B-wings on top of Jake Farrell, also getting one of those B-wings the ability to have a focus and a lock. And if AP5 is coordinating on top of that, that's two of those B-wings that can have focus and target lock.
That is awesome. Excellent. Well,
Ryan cheated. He actually made a really good list. That I think that's cheating.
you can call the second list bees.
Well, hopefully, Grim Wolf, that helped you out and you got what you were looking for. Yeah, so these were three awesome changes. And as we put up the poll, let me go ahead and do that now for y'all, because I know you guys want to know who was your favorite list of the week person. We'll go ahead and get that on your screen any second now. I said any second now. Where did it go? Sorry. There it is. Okay. As we get ready to sign off for our podcast, I want to remind you guys about our Saturday stream, which, by the way, if you were watching on Saturday, a huge success. Gold Squadron Flight Club is going to be sticking around for a while. If you guys don't know what that is, type exclamation point Flight Club. Remember, what's the L? Flight, not fight. Flight Club in the chat, and you can sign up to be a part of the Flight Club and have your opportunity to play on there. Those are commentated games on Saturday. Now, we're about to jump into our new thing that we're going to be trying the next couple of Mondays, all right? And this is Gold Squadron X-Wing Mind Games, okay? Now, I'm leaving this on the podcast, this part of the recording, in order to teach you guys what it is. Maybe you weren't around the first time we did this. It's pretty basic, all right? Now, you're going to see me. We're going to go to the table here. Let me make sure I do this. So, you can see we already have a game set up, ready to go, and this is going to be Ryan versus Will. Now, what's going to happen during this game is you will be hearing Ryan and Will talk about their decision-making process. They're going to talk about, you know, putting out the asteroids. Why are they putting the obstacles where they're putting them? Why are they putting their ships down where they are? Why are they selecting the moves? What are the moves that they're selecting? So this is all about their thought process. Now, this is very different. Now, it looks like, oh, you guys are just going to play a game? No, we're not just going to play a game. It's going to be very different because we're not playing the game to completion. We're only going to be playing, I would say, for about 30 minutes. We should be able to get about 4 to 5 turns in, maybe more. I think I set the clock. What was that there? I think I set it to 35 minutes. And the purpose of this is in order for us to talk about that initial engagement. That's what a lot of people, that is the number one question we get a lot is, what should I do with the initial engagement? How should I approach with this list? This gives us the opportunity to have those discussions. discussion and to do this more than once. Now, if time allows, we should for sure be able to do two. And if we get bonus time, we'll do three. We do have a hard stop at 11:30. And all of these will be put up on YouTube. Now, when you guys are watching live on stream, you will be able to hear whichever pilot, either Will or Ryan, I select. Like, I'm going to be flipping back and forth for you guys depending on the situation. Now, I know some of you are going to want to listen to one and not the other, or depending on the situation. There is a way to get it out to both of you, but if you're watching on a phone, it's going to be like chaos if you don't have headphones. But when we upload this to YouTube, you will have panned audio, okay? You're going to have one person on the left, one person on the right. So that means if you have earbuds, you can listen to only one to hear one of the pilots. Or if you're really good at separating audio in your mind, you could put them both in there. I wouldn't suggest it, all right? So we're going to go to the table here really quick. We're going to do some audio checks as this is the first time we're doing this live. Should be tons of fun. I think it's a great opportunity for learning. People have been asking for the return of Mind Games. Here we go.